everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, doing things a little bit different. Can we hear the other theme song? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, because Gina's not here today, but we'll get into that in a second. This is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, allegedly, and I am Ray Stakanis.
I just need to know what you did there, because on this side of the production, we didn't hear shit. So you're like, and now let's hear this music. Oh, that's good music. And Marshall and I heard, like, what, Chan,
it's called the magic of podcasting.
Yeah, I am the Penn and Teller of the magic of podcasting. James Randi? I'm the one that makes it not fun for everybody.
Penn and Teller make it fun for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, I know. About? I was doing that.
You were trying something. You were trying.
You were the Houdini of mysticism.
The Chris Angel of podcasts.
People want to punch me in the stomach. Yeah.
That's it. Anyway, who are you people?
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
And I'm Marshall Givens.
That's right. I was playing the My Three Dads theme song. Because we have an effective episode of My Three Dads today.
We snuck it in.
Despite the fact that we haven't done a new episode of that show in like 2 years.
What is the theme song?
I mean, you've heard every episode of My Three Dads, Chan. I can't believe you just don't know it by the top of your head. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, maybe I'll listen to this episode. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah,
not holding my breath. Anyway, this is a Patreon recommended episode. So we're getting ourselves back on track with our scheduling again. This is from Vincent Florio. Vincent, who made, designed, and created our season three. I'm looking at the number three. Season seven, Knowing Is Half the Podcast logo. This is going to be a heck of an episode. And he suggested a while ago, why don't you guys check out the Dragon Warrior cartoon show? And you know what? We're going to do it. Right now, actually, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
This is it. The time has come.
Dragon Warrior.
Now, what do your guys know? I will say right now, I had Dragon Warrior, the original one, for the Nintendo Entertainment System. And I have worked, you know, I was at E3 in 2018, where Dragon Warrior 11, and I have a story about that I'm going to share a little later in the broadcast. I got to bury the lead.
I want to hear Dragon Warrior 7 stories only.
Yeah, no, this is great. I mean, sorry, I don't have any story about Dragon Warrior 7, unfortunately. You either get one or you get 11. That's what you get. But it became Dragon Quest later. That's the whole deal. Indeed. So any Dragon Quest games you have right now are spiritual successors to Dragon Warrior.
Wasn't it originally that? Dragon Quest?
It was originally Dragon. To my understanding, the very first one for the Nintendo was Dragon Warrior. And then somewhere down the line, after making a few of those, they just made Dragon Quest.
All right. Then, yeah. Good job.
Have you guys played any of the games?
No, it was first released in Japan as Dragon Quest in 86 and in North America as Dragon Warrior in 89.
There you go. So I'm right.
You
never,
are
not. Ever, ever heard of this game, cartoon.
Oh, really? Because like I say, nope. the
you don't
11 was
slime?
Pretty popular. 11 was pretty big deal.
The
little dudes, the little drop dudes that look kind of like
the little Hershey's Kisses?
Loops, yeah.
Little slimes.
Where are they from?
From this.
Look.
From Dragon Warrior series.
They were
in the cartoon you just watched, allegedly.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know anything about it.
Oh, all right.
Other than what I just watched.
Wow.
I have not heard of this series. I've not heard of this franchise. As far as I was concerned, as soon as that started, I was like, I know Dragon Ball Z when I see it.
same designer. So there is that.
Exactly.
Kira Toriyama is, in fact, the main spiritual artistic lead of both the Dragon Quest series and Dragon Ball Z. Doesn't that make a lot of sense?
I mean,
so if Abel is not Goku,
then I don't know what.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Every character looks like Goku. That's basically what you see Dragon Ball Z, you know exactly what this looked like. And I am not exaggerating. It is the same art style. It actually took me 2 minutes to make sure we were watching the same thing. Because I thought maybe we get our
I thought this was like a prequel or something.
Yeah, and it was some sort of like Dragon Ball material, but it was not. Then all of a sudden, like, I remembered, oh yes, Akira Toriyama is the guy. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Now, in the opening teaser, We're just going to jump right to it. A monster is released under the water.
No, wait. Before you go, can we talk about the theme song first?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, please.
The lack of backstory lyrics in it? I'm sorry.
This is episode one, so, I mean, we're going to learn the story.
I don't care. Uh-uh.
You need it ahead of time or else you're out?
If your theme song does not tell me all I need to know about these characters, I find it very hard for me to be invested in it.
Oh, okay. Look, I am largely on the same page as you. I like a theme song that tells you what's going on, but because this is like one of the like progenitor JRPGs, like the backstory is long and hard, and you will go all night.
Rough. So
you can't cram it into a song. You got to just get a narrator to just like, all right, everybody, hold up for like 4 minutes. I'm gonna let you know what's going on. Here's some names that you will inevitably forget or get confused with somebody else, and it's fine. It's all fine. It's just there for texture,
I guess. I found myself watching the theme song waiting for it to tell me what I needed to know.
I mean, tell me this isn't getting you hyped.
It got me hyped.
Kinda. Like, could it just, like, maybe even just a word, like, Silver Hawks, like, just something. Like, give me something.
I imagine there probably was one in the original Japanese version, and, you know, obviously.
Oh, those are full-on pop songs, and the Japanese versions of the theme songs are just straight-up shit you can hear on the radio. Like, that's going into a whole full 3.5-minute song. It's just a straight up ballad at the end of a show. You're like, oh, okay, let me listen to this now.
You know what? I would appreciate it. And this is just in JRPGs in general, but I would personally appreciate it if they just came out at the end of every like episode with like a 4-minute like song about what I just watched.
Song recap.
I would also appreciate it if the TV show Legion would do the same thing.
There's a podcast called, buffering
abrasive lesions.
It's a recap podcast about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and they do an original song at the end of every one that is about the episode.
Hilarious.
See, I need that for watching these shows. Although I didn't have a problem, here's the deal. I did not have any problem at all understanding what was happening in this cartoon. But that being said, that is also because I just accepted the fact that all kinds of things were happening that I was not meant to understand. So maybe I cheated.
Yeah, I guess. Also, you recognize the song, right? You recognize the feel of the song, right?
Oh, play it again.
You know who wrote this song, right?
Hold on, I gotta hear it again.
Tommy Lee from Motley Crue?
No, this is
Saban. I said Tommy Lee from Motley Crue, right?
That's what it is. This is a Saban joint, and so yes, obviously it was written by that same crew.
Yes, it
Power
is.
Power Rangers crew.
Saban and Levy.
The Saban joint.
Masters of 80s cartoon theme songs. Say what you will about the quality of their productions. Some of them are real good. Some of them are real bad. But like, you can always rely on them for just a bouncy, upbeat theme song.
No, that got that me hyped just now.
That it was.
So here we go. The story now begins properly. We meet a girl named Tiala, and it is her 15th birthday. And immediately, knowing that this is a Japanese production from the 80s, I get real nervous.
Wait, do we skip? We skip the narration, though.
I don't need narration, but maybe you do.
No, because he told us the story. He told us what was happening. He told us what we needed to know, which I found
tuned out for most of that.
Oh, come on.
Maybe you didn't tune out for the narrator. Come on, man.
Civilizations.
You couldn't tune out for that dude because that dude was mad. Evil. He was very self-righteous about everything that had happened in this world.
Well, can we hear a little bit of that then? You know what? Honestly, like, anytime a show like this begins with narration, my brain just tends to find something else to worry about.
This dude got angry real fast. Like, it started off like neutral, and then all of a sudden he was like, these motherfuckers.
Long, long ago, there lived a prosperous civilization known as the Escuta. Its citizens lived in luxury, intoxicated with an arrogant ambition to conquer the world.
Yeah, it starts out like things are cool, and then we get Marxist real fast.
They're arrogant. It's just so bad.
Late-stage capitalism took the country and drove it into... and he's not wrong.
Not at all.
I'm totally into it.
You know what? I kind of enjoy that. And you know what? I realize this is an amalgam of what Chan said earlier. As soon as I get that in opening narration for something I know nothing about, and he starts dropping a bunch of terms and names and words that I don't recognize, I'm like, all right.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You're going to pick it up later.
My brain just goes into shutdown because it's like, as we have referred to it at many jobs I've been in, it's called the fire hose of information.
Oh, okay.
Sprayed. Yeah, much like the fire hose in UHF as used by Stanley Spadowski on Little Joel Miller, who found the marble in the oatmeal. It just blows you off the horse. You can't retain any of that. It's just so much. It's just going to wash over you. And you're just going to have to start from scratch anyway. So my brain just goes, nope.
I tell you what it is. It's a warm blanket for me because it's just like, obviously it's real clunky, but also it speaks to a certain kind of production at a certain time, you know, that was like sort of me growing up. And it's just like, here's the Tolkien-esque backstory. And here's like some random yabo. And some, you know, like some peppy smart girl, and they're going to go off and have amazing adventures.
Big adventures.
There's a dark evil, and this evil's been on it for a time, and he's got plans within plans. And don't worry about it; it'll all be uncovered eventually over the course of, you know, like, I mean, hopefully several seasons. This thing only went for like 13 episodes, which is kind of a bummer because, like, I really like this. Although, yeah. I will say I kind of am less interested in watching this entire series than I am in watching the entire Japanese version of the series.
Do you know of any major differences between the two?
I'm 100% certain that there are plenty.
Well, sure.
Most of them will probably involve this girl's boobs at some point.
They're all pervy though. That's the problem.
Because my man Master Yogi was low key a horn dog, and I was not happy for this.
100%, they censored something there.
Not good.
She's like hugging him. The parents are like, "What?" And I'm like, "Oh God!"
It was that kiss on the cheek. It was that like smooch, and then they was like, "Oh, you charlatan, you whore."
No. There was something there that got cut out, and it was wholly inappropriate. I am positive.
There's some cells that are on the floor.
on the American floor in Japan, uh-huh. It's like, totally cool. Yeah, it just takes a cucumber, just rams it up there. The American version, like, you know what? Let's dial it down.
Man, we can't do this here.
Kill a child.
She's 15. We can't.
Trust me. The Master Yogi, Master Roshi from Dragon Ball, if you know that character. Yes, the horny old man stereotype. Oh boy. Yeah. As soon as she says, I'm 15 years old, I turned 15 today, immediately my brain just goes, oh no.
Yep. That's bad news. Bad news.
That's about to happen on the show. Bad
news, guys.
I do love it when she rolls into town. There's a wedding, and she's like, oh yeah, I turned 15. And he's like, what? Oh dear God. Everybody, get out now. Get to the bunkers. Oh, yeah. Christ.
Cancel the wedding.
He clearly knew something and just didn't say it. Just was like, wait, hold on a second. What? Let me do the math. Yep. Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Because Tiala is the guardian. She's the descendant of the guardians of the Red Stone. And her birthday present from Master Yogi is the Red Stone. And everybody in town seems to know that that will awaken an ancient evil.
It seemed like the ancient evil was already awakened, though.
I mean, he got up a little early. You set the clock for like 15 minutes early so you can get up, have time to like dig around on Facebook on your phone before you get up and go get a shower.
Make a cup of Folgers before you start your day. Before you go do your evil.
Yeah, whatever the magical evil equivalent of Folgers is.
Is evil waking with you? I don't know.
Foul.
Ray, come on, man. Come on, man. Come on.
Is evil under a rock?
Is black evil in your cup?
There you go.
Do you just refer to coffee as black evil?
Yeah.
Hey, caffeine's the devil.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's
devil worshiper, that baby.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Now, one thing I noticed is the design of this show. Tiala looks to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, she looks like Japanese Pocahontas.
Oh, I was just about to say, ooh, like, it's some real indigenous vibes happening here. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, mm-hmm, so if everything goes to crap, then I guess it's just all going back to indigenous people. They're letting us know it's all going back to the originals.
I was trying to figure it out because, yes, if this were an American production, 100% that's what they'd be going for. Since it's Japanese, what are they going for? Did Toriyama be like, oh, dude, you know what? I just saw the other day, I was like looking at a children's book and like these cool headbands, some like American people wear them, I guess. Like, let's put that on her. Or is it like, I am super into cowboys and Indians. I just love it when they do the woo 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 thing and the tomahawks.
No. Oh, no.
I need to get like the, you know, like, give me some more of that. Because, you know, without the context, it's like a foreign thing. Like, you don't know the difference.
But you should probably.
When
somebody should have told him, someone should have been, hey,
just the guy who created Dragon Ball Z, like a multi-billion-dollar empire, not to do something.
No, I guess you don't tell him not to, but you should warn him.
Yeah. And also, well, you know, I do like
give him the opportunity.
As I say, I like the fact that she does have two pet slimes that are either present or not present, depending on if we need a reaction.
See, look, well, all of this narrator telling us about all the bad stuff and giving us the Karl Marx commentary. What I want to know is, what are those two Hershey's Kisses doing? Who are they? What do they do? What's their function? How come no one acknowledges them?
100% it.
What is it?
Cute. Period. Done.
Just something cute. That's it.
Something cute.
Yeah, they're literally slimes. I will say right now, when I worked at a Square Enix, Dragon Quest is one of their lines that they were running, and so we all got like everybody who walked in the door essentially got a sticker with a cute slime on it. Like, that was just part of like your opening package.
Wow, you should have negotiated for more.
Yeah, that is a real shit.
That seems awful.
I love these slimes. I would love a sticker, but like, you know, maybe
is just that what they are supposed to be? Slime? Is that what we call? Is that?
They are slimes. I can say that with insider knowledge. That is what those are.
They're just sentient slime.
They fucking have games called like Slime Kingdom and like Slime Hunter and like Slime Racing and Slime Rancher.
Oh boy,
okay. Slime Rancher is that's another one.
I guess I wasn't paying attention enough.
Come on,
gaming. What kind of weed? Chan is schooling you in this right now. What kind of
game? I don't know. I was into sports games and Rygar.
You know what? Rygar's legit.
I'm sorry, I was just fucking chicks while you all were watching anime.
Oh, see, you read into that. I didn't say all that. I just said I was playing sports games. You gave me more cool points than I needed.
Yeah. So, okay. So Master Yogi says, look, this is where I was worried. The most worried is when he's like, I got you a present. And he's like, ooh, I'm 15. Do I get a present? He goes, look in the basket.
Boy, it's a hole.
Look
in
the basket.
It's my dick in a basket.
Lotion, Master Yogi?
I was expecting lotion. Yes, yeah.
I was so worried. This is all bad.
Yeah, everything. But it is, in fact, a necklace that has the red stone that everybody was confused or confounded or upset about because she is the chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like Jet Li.
Love it all.
Like Jet Li or that one wizard we don't talk about anymore.
I mean,
Gilbert Arenas? What?
After the handgun thing in the locker room, we do not talk about Gilbert Arenas anymore.
Oh, Javaris Crittenden. Got it. All right, cool.
We don't talk about Gilbert. No. So she's good. Look, I don't understand this part. Tiala is like an inventor, like a Da Vinci style inventor, but she's bad at it. But maybe she's not bad at it.
No, it's and she's already like right off the bat more interesting than most girls in cartoons at this time.
Wow, Chan.
Look, she got her wings. She has some. She has her own thing already. Hey, I got my wings. Anybody want to try them out?
She's like, she's like trying to make stuff and it's going to fail. Obviously.
She's a Wright sister. She's great.
Yeah. But like the wacky inventor who makes stuff that keeps breaking, like eventually they're going to make something dope as shit. True. Yeah.
So she says it's my 15th birthday and I don't know it, but I'm the chosen one. I just got the red stone that marks me as the chosen one. I'm going to go meet my friend Abel. And I'm going to have him fly with my wings. Also, she has like a bicycle, like glider.
No, she had like the, she was holding the wings on the front of her bike. Like she, like she was some kind of courier.
I thought she had an ET style flying bike. I was very confused.
You realize that the ET style flying bike is just a bike. Right?
Just a bike, man.
That flies, yeah. Probably has wings, I assume.
When you
I
haven't add seen a on goddamn time. Alien to it. And the alien does the flying. It's not like, mm-hmm.
And this is this is another planet. So these are all aliens to us.
They're all alien. You're right about that. As well.
Maybe it's just a before time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's possible. Planet
long,
it's Dragon Age.
Long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So she rolls by a wedding, as Chan pointed out, and she meets a guy named Moko, who's down to get down.
No wait, but like let's keep it real, Moko. Just is in love with her. I don't know if he knows what down to get down is. He seemed pretty simple.
They're 15, Marshall. They're 15. They know.
Oh, that's the other thing, right? Like you forget in that moment, like, oh, that's right. They're 15. What's going on here?
But also, like, he's endearing because this is not her first glider. And there have been numerous failures.
Not her first glider, if you know what I mean.
This dude's walking around with a broken ass leg. And she's right. Like, oh, by the way, I got a new glider. And he's like, no.
Okay. But see, that was the thing. He like it was so clear he would do almost anything for her. And, and it was
obvious that
she had already asked him once because he wasn't going to really give up. If you could tell, like he was just going to keep trying to like, hey, but why not? Come on. Hey, but me. Hey, come on, girl. Let's go to the dance. Hey, baby, marry me. Hey, come on, baby. What you want? What you got? What you got? What you got? What you got? And then she was like, okay, tell you what. Here's what you could do for me. Uh-huh. Anything, baby. Fly my wings. You know what had happened was.
No, he did it the first time, though.
Right.
And then after, and even after that, he's still like, yeah, but could we? And then she's like, you want to do this again? He was like, you know what? That's a fair point. I'm leaving now.
I gotta go. He ran off on his broken foot in a cast and ran. Yeah. He didn't even use the crutch.
He's into it, but he's not that into it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
He's like, do I want to die for some? No, I ain't gonna say it.
Ain't worth it.
They're only 15. No need.
And also, I love the stuff happening in the background, Chan. You mentioned before where they basically the guy, the officiant, or whoever's running the wedding sees her. Realizes what day it is, sees the red stone. He's like, everybody get the F out right now. Wedding canceled. We done. Get out of here. Run.
He's like, wait, you're not that old. You're only this old because it was just this year. Oh, wait a minute.
Look, checks his calendar.
Yeah.
Apocalypse all circled in red. Oops. Ah, Jesus, was it today?
It's you'd like think the apocalypse on your very, wedding.
Very
day.
Danger fraught day upcoming would be fresher on people's minds. Like people would know about it and would probably remember.
People forget things, you know, it's so far in the future you don't set an alarm to it.
Also,
next thing you know, it's the apocalypse.
You've got the dudes who are like, it's definitely happening on September 14th, 2006.
Truth.
Rolls around, and you're like, what I meant to say was October 14th.
So too many conspiracy theorists in this town is what we're hearing. Okay.
It's basically an entire village full of Harold camping.
Yes. Yes.
Gone too soon.
Gone at about the right time, I think.
I mean, dude lived to be what, 90 something?
That may be a little long.
But he's still been gone over 10 years. It's amazing, though, and this is the crazy part about the whole thing. Even though he had several, and I'm talking several, end-of-the-world prophecies, none of them actually ever came true. It's crazy, right?
It's weird. You'd think at least one of them would be right.
You'd think so. You wouldn't think the founder of Family Radio would be wrong about that, but here we are.
Or anything.
You didn't think we were doing Harold Camping references on this episode, and we got you.
That's how we get you.
That's how we get you.
All right. Lure you in with anime and jokes about 15-year-old boobs, and then wham, hit you with the cult stuff.
That whole damn sentence that came out of Chan's mouth is problematic.
Yeah, I want that as a ringtone.
That whole sentence. One word after the next just got it worse.
Listen, the thing that, here's the deal. One thing greatly upset me in this episode, and it's when Tiala's riding her bike. She doesn't have brakes, so she takes her sandaled feet and just drives them into the grass, creating massive, like, trenches. And she does it multiple times in the episode, and it always upset me.
Yeah. It seems like for an indigenous culture, they sure don't care about the earth that much.
Right.
This seems real specific because as a child, my mother constantly had to be on me to use the GD brakes because I would do that.
Why would you ever do that? Oh my God, it looks like it hurts so bad.
Because you have shoes on and they make a rad sound, kind of like the game Defender when you do it and it slows down.
Oh my God. Till those shoes grind away on the asphalt to nothingness.
I'm not paying for the shoes, which is why my mother was very adamant that I not do that.
Ray, ipso facto, my mother said, use the GD brakes.
I mean, look, I get it. I don't know. It just, something about it just made me really upset. I was like, oh, don't show me that again. And then they do show me that again.
See, I feel like you have this same memory buried somewhere, and we're just getting around now to unearthing it.
I have many bike memories, and many of them are unpleasant, but I would say none of them involve me not using my brakes like a weirdo.
None that you remember. Let's get you to a hypnotist and we'll find out.
Oh boy. Yeah, let's implant a memory.
No,
then I'll just be upset all the time.
Unlock it.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
This is the Masters of the Universe Mighty Cycle from Tonka. Adult assembly required. It's got bold galactic designs and super sleek styling. Masters of the Universe Mighty Cycle with big wide track wheels that let you master turns. Master spins. Master the action. Masters of the Universe Mighty Cycle. New from Tonka.
Back to G.I. Joe.
So she finds Abel, her homeboy. He's on a boat in the water, and he is fighting a...
No, he wasn't in the boat. No. Look, we're gonna break this down. First, she showed up. He left something on the shore that she had given him, so she was already on his ass about, like, why he didn't take this? I gave this to him. How come he's not using it? Oh, yeah, boy. She started, like, right off the bat on something. What? It was like, oh, boy, this is going to be bad. And he was out there swimming. And before he could get to his boat, it got destroyed by a giant, which I assume is a Magikarp from Pokemon.
Yeah, a giant Magikarp. Quick sidebar. How that hair stand up underwater?
Because he's Goku, man.
Yeah, that's Super Saiyan power is how he did that.
Get that Super Saiyan hold, boy.
Super Saiyan hair gel. But yeah, there's a gigantic fish. And he's fighting this gigantic fish. I love the fact that he has his harpoon. And he drills the fish right in the forehead with the harpoon. And then it's like, now what?
It almost looked like he did it on accident, though. Like how?
Yeah.
like the fish just like swam into the harpoon more than anything.
Well, yeah, but also, then he's just like, you see a later shot where he's the fish is dragging him outside of the water. Uh-huh. When she tries to shoot him with her little harpoon thing, and he's got like 7 harpoons in his side. He does not give a fuck.
Yeah. He's got him right in the forehead. He's just yanking him around under the water, above the water. He's just annihilating this poor kid.
It's pretty fun.
Not as fun as the crossbow moment, where Tiala's on shore with a crossbow lining up a shot. And given that you know this property, it's heroic, I'm very fully expecting she's going to just plant him and bring down the fish, right? That's what we were all thinking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then amazingly, and I love this moment. This is perfect comedy to me because she's aiming it up, lining it up. There's a serious face. She takes the shot and the crossbow goes like 2 feet forward and just drops into the water and over. I legitimately howled out loud.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Howled with delight. Did not see that coming at all.
This is about the point where I was like, oh, you know what? This is not about the quality of the product that I'm really attached myself to. It's about like the sort of nostalgic feeling it kicks up in me, because I guarantee you, if you showed this to a 9-year-old today, you'd be like, what is this bullshit? What is ham ass bullshit? Like, I think back to like when I would watch The Honeymooners as a kid, or you know, like any old sitcom. Like, people found this funny? Are you kidding me? This is boring crap. So
We about to throw down. Anybody says that in my presence,
this is what old men do, is they see stuff like this and they're like, oh yeah, it's nice. It's real. This is what real comedy is, kids. You don't understand.
Listen, I'm going to go on record right now. I loved this. I loved this episode of Dragon Quest. A part of me wants to just go ahead and just start doing this series. Like, I liked it that much. I love the characters. I love the simplicity of it. I love the world. I love the setup. I don't know. I love the pacing.
Ray's going to go on his own Dragon Quest.
I might be going on my own Dragon Quest, is what I'm trying to say. I don't know how you two eventually come down. You could say now or say later, but like, I'm just going to go ahead and go on the record. I adored this show.
I would only go through it just so I could see how deep this Native American theme goes. I just want to see how far they take it.
I'm going to guarantee either not any further or way too far. It's going to be one of those choices.
All I know is if I see a TP, if I see anything, like, mm-hmm. They already got bow and arrow and crossbow. Like, look. That's true.
We're real close.
They are dangerously close. Look at her braids. She has got up Pocahontas hair, braids, and a headband, mm-hmm. and a dress. And look at the like, if you could, man, I'm looking at a picture of it right now. I'm looking at it still just because it was on my computer. She has got a sack with an eagle on it that looks like it was made in Arizona. Like, what are we talking about right now?
Yeah. Here's the deal. It's a lesson in going for it. I'll definitely say that right now. And the fish, and for the record, the fish kicks his kid's ass. Abel,
yo,
I love this though, because we have two heroes. These are the centerpiece heroes of the story. We eventually, in theory, if I know how these stories go, they will bring down an empire, but here they are getting their ass kicked by a fish. And I loved it. I love that.
Yeah,
very RPG RPG feel to it, where you walked out and the crabs kill you.
I don't, you haven't been
killed by
them
crabs at level 1, you ain't never played video games. That's what I'm saying.
By the way, we didn't even talk about the fact that the episode wasn't called episode 1. It was called level 1.
Yeah, I did love that.
Did you peep that? Yo, it wasn't even, it was like level 1 and then the title of the episode. And I was like, wait a minute.
Oh, hell yeah.
So they're right there with you.
I was already on board. You're winning.
Look, they're right there with you. They got you. They know. Race to Canada.
They know what I want.
Come up on this in 2024.
That's right. 40 years from now, there's going to be an old guy who missed this well the first time who's going to be on board. Look, I do like the fact that also that Abel stumbles his way through the water back onto shore where he collapses. And he's basically like, give me 2 more minutes, man. I would have got that thing.
Why'd you
I didn't hear no bell. You know,
classic just hubris all over the place.
Oh, I loved it. This is my kind of hero right here.
Abel. And immediately, I wonder if his name's Abel because it's like, hey, I'm able to do anything I want to.
Or will he be a traitor later?
What?
I assume that there's some bad guy named Cain.
Wait, Cain was the traitor, not Abel. Yeah, there's a biblical scholar getting very upset.
Just
with
dipping
right
into
now.
All religions that have nothing to do with Japan.
Cain killed Abel. There we go.
Yes.
That's how that story
yeah.
goes.
That's why the bad guy would be named, say it with me now,
Cain.
He's not, though, is he?
I don't know. I'm saying.
Wrote it down
did
somewhere.
They say his bad name? No, I forgot it, too.
The big bad guy who has like half a word of dialogue and everything else is.
I love that. That was straight out of the Nintendo. That was when you lose at Kung Fu for the Nintendo Entertainment System. You get that echoing, billowing laughter.
Baramos is the name of the guy, by the way.
Baramos. There we go.
There it is.
Anyway. Okay. We go from getting our ass kicked by the fish to Teal'c wants to fly. She's like, I brought this thing for you to fly. He's like, I am not into this. But she's like, it's a new design. You'll love it. He's like, I guess
yeah,
I'm doing
because
this.
Because she has been going around convincing everybody to go fly these wings because he was like, not last time. It hurt.
Oh, yeah. She's been injuring people right and left is what I'm trying to say. Now, he ends up going for it. So he straps himself to this Icarus flying feathered contraption and just starts running off a cliff. He's trying to run downhill, pick up speed and jump off a cliff. And this is the famous, Superman belief where you have either the small child who jumps off the roof or the person who's high on some narcotic who thinks he can fly and jumps off the roof. In both cases, they end up hurting themselves. Mm-hmm. And I always stop to think to myself, as been said before, Superman doesn't need to jump off a roof. Superman could, if you could really fly, you can do it from the ground.
This is true.
Well, I believe children and people who are super high famously have fantastic cognitive skills and are able to do that math.
Always work that out. They always work that out.
You know, Chan, I disagree. I don't think they do.
Here's my problem with this whole setup and her and making him go run down this. Hey, lady, ma'am, scientist, inventor, person, this is your shit. Why don't you do it? Why don't you do it?
My whole note right here. Why isn't she doing this?
I wrote it several times. Why don't you do it?
She doesn't do it for the same reason Elon Musk didn't get the Neuralink upgrade.
Yeah, exactly. Like, look, dude, you believe in this so much. Why don't you do it? Since you're so tough, why don't you get this put into your brain, partner?
The problem with hot girl inventors is they don't actually have to suffer any of the consequences of their
invention.
Truth.
This is a horrible. This is a horrible perpetration of tropes that we do not need. Lady, test your shit out.
And this is the thing. He's running down the hill and he's like, we got good wind. We're going to make it. And then he gets like close to the edge. And all of a sudden she's like, the wind died down. Stop yourself.
No, she didn't even say stop yourself. She said, find some way to slow yourself down. Yeah. Lady, what are you talking about?
He is 30 feet from the edge of the cliff. He ain't stopping. Also, he's not just wearing this feathered like wing thing on his arms. Why is he wearing a duck mask? Did you guys notice?
Yeah,
that?
I was worried. Like she.
That's gotta be a troll, right?
There's
that's
a bunch of red flags for what like she's up to that like I feel like people just keep ignoring because she's like young and apparently attractive to people. Because I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. You don't want to try out your invention. Why? Are you afraid of your invention? Do you think that your invention won't work? Then why would I do it? Also, why am I wearing this mask? This, I feel like, is a practical joke that you are playing on me. I don't know why all these people trust her. I don't.
Because they're 15-year-old boys.
Oh, damn
and
hormones.
She is the vengeance and wrath that a angry god has visited upon 15-year-old boys. He's like, oh my god, I gave you hormones, but you just went and ran with it. I am sick of your bullshit. Okay, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna make a real hot girl. Super hot. And she has got these inventions. She thinks she's doing good. I have given her no facility to make good inventions. But what she's going to do is she's going to make you dum-dums do things. You are going to kill yourselves. And
you dum-dums.
Everything will be all right.
Well, this is why anime is anime. He ends up going off the edge of the cliff and she's like, oh no. And then all of a sudden she's like, oh wait, the wind has picked up again. He will be fine. And then shoom, and he shoots
it like
up
but
in
it
the
like
air.
Changed directions. It was like, oh no, it's going from a different direction now. And so that's why it was like all of a sudden he like blows over her head.
Yeah, and so he's flying. He gets up in the sky, he's having a blast. He is zipping around. She is trying to follow him on her bike and ends up not watching where she's going. And she just drives the bike straight into the lake. Well, which made me laugh. I did.
That's what you do.
And then he starts losing. Oh, no, he's losing his feathers. What kind of design is this?
See, this is what I'm talking about. Red flags all over the place. Nobody asked any questions of her. They just, they just put the shit on.
Canvas clearly exists. Why are we using real feathers apparently scotch taped onto the frame?
This is the Icarus situation. There was no plan for him to be flying 500 feet up in the air, and that's how far it was. That was pretty goddamn far.
Man, she's great with the measurements.
Like, yeah, he flew
came to build wings to save her life, but
she did the Pythagorean theorem right there on the ground.
Yep. On the other hand, and I will say that this isn't very kind of her, after he starts falling apart.
Oh, please tell me. Say it.
Oh, yeah. I want this sound pull.
You dummy.
What the F, lady?
I was so mad. I said, woman, this was your fault. This was your fault. You dummy. How dare you?
How dare you fly on the flying contraption that I made for you and forced you to do?
You attach those feathers on with styrofoam and Elmer's glue. How dare you?
I don't know if you've ever been a rocket scientist, but the rocket scientists do not blame themselves when things go wrong. They're like, you dumb air jock. You were pulling the thing too hard. The throttle was too much and you were going too fast. You should dial it back. The plane blew up in midair. It's definitely not my fault.
Nope. That's why if you invent it, you got to fly it. That's my motto.
Oh my gracious. Yeah, I was very mad at her for that.
He splashes
in the water. She has to save him. And let's cut away right now because we're going to meet the bad guys. And this is where the bad guys, the main bad guy is like, I want to get that stone. And I'm going to send this froggy looking dude.
Oh no, but you gotta remember, like the big ship just showed up. Like it just it came up and then all of a sudden then everybody saw it. It wasn't like there the before. All of a sudden, big ship.
Like the Pridwin in Fallout 4. It just sort of appears and changes the landscape of everything. And I like this. This is the beginning of Baldur's Gate 3 with the Mind Flayer ship that crashes and you know everybody goes crazy. It's a pretty good game so far. I'm playing it. Humble brag much? Yes.
It moves there faster. The vibrations of the red stone are getting much stronger.
Good.
Very soon, the stone will be yours.
Nailed it. That's a voice actor nailing it.
I'm pretty sure that was the only word he spoke the entire time.
Good.
Everything else.
I mean, he is the emperor. Okay, that was it. We're going to cut over to our heroes. Teala swims out to Abel and saves him. And immediately he trolls her and is making fun of her. Which, they have a delightful relationship, you know.
This relationship is weird.
I mean, it is.
Someone looks at me.
It's what's supposed to be. Like, big hunky dude and hot smart girl. What more can you ask for?
His look reminded me of what they did with Liu Kang in the first Mortal Kombat movie.
All right. Yeah.
I don't know why. I just had a Liu Kang vibe off of him. He was just shirtless.
Yeah, it's no
with
shirt.
His baggy,
sweating.
With his MC Hammer pants.
And there's a great moment here. I like this kind of stuff. All the fish start running away.
Well, they
all
pointed
the
it out.
Fish in their lake look, just take off.
Hey, when something big is happening, hey, all the fish are leaving.
I love it.
What's wrong? Something must be going on.
Something's scaring the fish.
Yeah, like, something's scaring the fish. Like, y'all are in the lake too. Turn around.
BG Dubs, I
oh dear,
sent a suggestive screen grab of I guess Dan. She's trying to give him what do you call it, CPR or something like that, but she's down around his junk, and I don't understand how that's supposed
to Lord work. Why
you're gonna get me put on a watch list sending me stuff like that.
Wait
again, I suspect that there's something cut from the original version that was probably even more suggestive.
But and look at the, your shoulder sash is. I mean, it just looks like a giant dong.
But look at the look on his face.
Oh, wait. Whoa. No.
It's a dangerous look.
Just look at his face.
That is the most innocent of the faces that he makes while this is all happening.
He's like, that look is totally like, come on, baby. Just look. Just you better do it. You know, you do. You know, you want to.
Damn,
that is a horrible look. Gotta, oh my God.
Gotta get off this topic before.
This is horrible. They're cartoon characters.
And this, I didn't quite catch this. They go under the water looking at the fish, and they find a dragon like tablet under the water. That's they start deciphering it about how dragon can be sealed up by red and blue stones. We know she has a red stone. So there is some sort of ancient prophecy here going on. Because she now has the red stone, she has now set in place a series of events that are making some poop go down.
Chan, so, why did you send that?
Chan, stop sending me these pictures. What the? It's or at least put
it's
these
clearly
on.
Clearly, his moment of ecstasy.
Put these pictures on the Facebook group, you coward. I'm not doing it. Usually I do it. I'm not doing it this time. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not going down
back in the throes of passion.
Ken, it wouldn't be the first, second, third, or fourth time you've been kicked off of Facebook. So
oh, it's so horrible.
So I'm gonna move on. The flying ship is above. They drop an anchor down, which I thought was cool, and then a bunch of purple goo starts coming out of it and into the ocean, which kills all the fish in the ocean. The slimes even are scared, the pet slimes. And a purple orb comes out of the ship, which holds a weird froggy bad guy.
Oh, yeah, the second in command, that dude.
Yeah, he's come down to collect the girl.
It felt like there was just way too much going on with this whole moment.
It was a lot. I didn't.
It was
like
too
I say,
much.
It's no, too much.
It was so much.
The correct amount, because we had it all explained at the beginning. When you have 15 minutes of exposition like that, then you just go.
You just
and you
do
start
it.
Throwing things at the screen. Everything's happening all at once, and it's fine. It's
all right. Good. I want an anchor to go down into the water, and then it's going to drip some purple goo. Then I want the orb to come through with the frogman. Mm-hmm. Then I want a tractor beam.
Wait, yes. Is that the purple stuff that I heard about in the Sunny Delight commercial?
Hell yeah, man.
I see why the kids want it.
It kills fish, but it tastes real good.
I'll take that purple stuff.
I want some of that purple stuff.
Go ahead and say that while you're looking at those pictures that I sent you.
No, those pictures are well gone. I'm not looking at them. So Abel now threatens the froggy in the orb. He says, I'm going to throw this spear at you. And the froggy's like, Dude.
You, a giant lizard man is sitting cross-legged in a glowing, floating bubble. And you're like, my stick will stop you. Dude. No,
Abel was just the right kind of stupid.
What I love is he threatens to do it. The frog has no reaction to it. And he goes ahead and gives it a shot anyway. And it does not work. And I like it. Look, when you have a hammer, every problem revolves a hammer. How's that thing work? Every problem looks like
when
a nail.
When you have a hammer, every problem looks like a nail.
There we go. See, that's when you have a javelin, every bad guy can be impaled with a javelin. That's except Froggy guy in an orb. Don't do it. I love it.
Weirdly, the frog doesn't, but everybody else, I'm sure, definitely.
Yeah, and she shouts, you know, run, run. She runs away. Then she gets beamed up by a tractor beam on the ship.
Mm-hmm. And which he begs runs. The question, why send Frog Dude?
Listen, listen, Froggy had to get her worked under the ship, I guess. What? I don't know how anything works.
Look, but then look, Abel, the dude says one word the entire episode,
good.
30 minutes, everything else is, oh, 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 oh. That, my friends, is a drama queen. You don't just suck somebody up into your ship when you're a drama queen. You're like, I will send my henchman.
Who, I'm going to send a representative to tell you why I'm sucking you up in a tractor
beam. I'm not going to send the one with the sweet voice. It's like, hey, would you mind coming up to the pad? I'm going to send the one down who's like, oh, rah, rah.
Man, I know. I'm going to tell you right now, the reason why Froggy had to get sent down, you had to deal with that javelin.
Okay. The only thing that I fear.
Look, I don't trust him and his wooden spear. Why don't you go down and check it out?
A small shirtless boy with a pointed stick could be my end.
Alternatively, hey, I just invented this cool floating ball that you'll definitely be fine in, but just in case, I'm gonna send you down in it to make sure that it's not weak against sticks.
Oh, see, what if there's a symmetry that's been going on between homegirl and the bad guy, where they just both send other people on to some shit that they made? Hey, why don't you test this out for me? They're both two sides of the same coin, y'all.
What it says to me is that she turns out to be the big bad at the end of the series. Ooh. She takes the mantle and becomes the bad guy, and you know,
did we just write this whole series in one episode? Look, guys,
I don't even know that's not how it goes.
I don't know.
No?
Look, Abel jumps up in the air to grab her. I don't know what the plan is there, although they both get sucked aboard the ship now.
No, I know what the plan. I'm going to grab you and pull you down from a tractor beam because Abel is a special kind of stupid.
Yeah. Javelins don't work on orbs, and yanking feet doesn't work on tractor beams. I'm going to go ahead and lay this out.
This city-sized floating ship doesn't have the power to pull up one girl, not against the might of my... And to be fair, that's a pretty rockin' upper body that he's got
he's
there.
Oh, he's been working out. No, you give him credit.
My man is jacked.
At the very least, you're going to give it a try.
You got that Richie Sandrack body.
The what?
No, I'm not familiar.
One person in the crowd thinks that was amazing that I just said.
And it was you. Ray, you got to stop.
Like, okay, me and one other person. Look him up, Richie Sandrick. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make here is that this is where we meet Baramos. Baramos Obama.
Yeah,
I believe his name.
Man, my brain was doing it, and I was like, I'm not. Nope, I'm not. I'm not. I won't. I just won't do it. But leave it to Detroit Ray to come up with some.
I'll lay that out if I can come up with it.
Well, Detroit Ray.
Anyway, we met him. I love the hubris of our heroes because Abel's there being like, oh, we're here now. I'm going to beat your ass, Baramos.
This thing is huge.
He's gigantic. He has magical powers. And then Tiala shouts out, Abel won a wrestling tournament in our village, so you best back off, pal. Man. And I howled again with delight.
She just yelled, this dude is the biggest, strongest dummy in our whole town. He's going to try to fight you now.
In our small village, he won one wrestling tournament. I just wanted her to say that, and then Baramos just be like, oh, shit, never mind.
Yeah,
put him down.
What, wrestling? Oh, no, I don't know. No, no, no.
You
no,
better
no,
do
no.
what he says if you know what's good for you. Abel's a great warrior. Last month, he won the wrestling tournament in our village.
I mean, that look is, out. Look out.
That is, see, oh, man.
She is the wind beneath his wings.
No, she's not, yo. She is the albatross around his neck.
She's the girl that gets you into a fight at the bar.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you, Ray. That's exactly what I'm about to say. Like,
I know her archetype,
she's gonna
and trust
get
me,
you
have
trouble.
To run from it
she
if
will
it ever comes
convince
to
you.
You
to do something stupid, like jump off a cliff with some feathers, and then she will talk shit about the biggest dude in the place and then tell you to go fight.
Yeah. I this do not have a problem with why you keep talking about all of my girlfriends from my 20s like that. It's weird that you keep describing them all so crystal clear, and I want you to stop now.
Chan, I told you in a recent episode that we have a very similar profile.
Oh, no. Oh, man. I only read about you guys in magazines, y'all. I didn't know it was so real.
You'll never believe.
I never experienced these guys. What? Oh, no.
Man, who would fall for with them? I do love that she drops that line and he's all like, all right, I'm gonna throw down, and then he just gets telekinetically thrown like a rag doll across the ship, and I'm again
from the bad guy
just howling. That guy not even moving. He's okay. Just mentally, he's pulling an 11 from Stranger Things, just whipping this dude around the hallway. I'm loving it.
Floating ship. Why? Why do you think?
Like, I know it's a cartoon, but like the funniest thing would have been to just him be just straight up dead after.
Yes, I love that.
Whop whop boom boom, like Shia LaBeouf and Constantine. Oh, hey, I'm here to do some whop whop bump bump.
See, I would have gone with what is it? Was it Steven Seagal and what's that plane movie with Kurt Russell?
Oh, no. I don't know
what I'm talking about.
Balls on a plane.
On a plane. No, basically, Steven Seagal was the second billed guy in the movie, with Kurt Russell being number one. And he was like some security expert. And they're on this plane and he dies in like 10 minutes into the movie. And it's meant to surprise you. And it's delightful. Am I getting that right? What's the name of that goddamn movie? Anyway, so Frog Guy grabs Teala and Abel's just getting whipped around the ship. I'm dying.
It's executive decision, right?
Executive decision. Yes, it is. Thank you so much. Yeah, go watch that. Oh, my God. Abel gets chucked into a pit, and the blue slime jumps off of Teala to separate the two slimes, and then goes with Abel. Wait
a
minute.
Didn't he get thrown out of
it wasn't a pit. It was like opened up the ship.
He opened a hole in the ship. It looked like a pit.
Because it's some kind of organic matter ship now. Hole. It just like melts open and he like chucks him through the hole.
Yeah.
It's some living ship. This is some Reaper bullshit from Mass Effect.
And then, you're right. Like one of the slimes is like,
I'm going with him.
No, like, do you see that moment though between the two slimes? Like, one's crying.
Have a moment. It's great. I've never felt more watching something than I felt watching that.
I couldn't, I was like, what is happening right now? It looked back at him like, huh? Should I go? I'm going to go. I'm going to jump.
I'm telling right now, this could be very generic, this show. And I think why I liked it is because they took a lot of shots and I think they hit a lot of the shots they took. That was one of them. You know, what if we have in this weird moment? What if we have a touching moment between the two slime pets?
That was hilarious.
Yeah, I think we should.
Because one just made the decision. I'm jumping out of her dress, out of her bosom, which is where he came from, and I'm going to go with Abel. You stay here. You coming with me? I felt like that slime was just like, nah, this is too much for me, yo. I'm out of here. I can't be around here for all of this.
I'm going to go with Dum Dum.
It seems safer down there with Dummy. I'm going to go that way.
Yeah. He gets expelled from the ship, lands in the water, and the slime, I guess, kind of saves him, like buoyancies him to the surface.
I mean, sure. Yeah.
I got out
this
of it.
Dude is a free diver. Like, why is everybody having to save him in the water? He is a straight up free diver. Like, save yourself.
I mean, look, he fell out of a spaceship, Marshall.
And he got flung and he landed flat back.
Fine.
Not like he didn't dive into anything.
Fine. Okay, fine. Be on his side.
When I was a kid, I jumped off the high dive board at the swimming pool, and not understanding how physics works, I landed on my shins.
Ooh.
I like stuck my legs down and landed, so I hit with both of my shins. Oh. And I thought in a brief moment that all of the skin had been peeled off of my legs, like I was in Hellraiser.
Oh, no.
Well,
not a suggested course of action.
In your life, seen Hellraiser, or in later years, did you realize, that's what that felt like when you watched it as an adult?
I have to be honest, Chan, it makes for a better story if I knew Hellraiser in the moment, but your second statement is correct.
Okay, fair enough. I just want to say that I looked it up, and if you want to watch the subbed version of Dragon Quest Yusha Abel Densetsu, you can on YouTube for freezies. I am seriously into the idea of just watching this. I don't have a whole lot of free time, but this really just like kind of hooked me. And I'm just like, I need to see more of this nonsense.
Oh, me and so Chad on the same wavelength so about funny. This. I would watch more of this in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. But I would only watch the dubbed version because I'm a filthy casual.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm filthy. I can't be
find your own reading. Fucking links then.
Well, I can't be reading nothing.
Pirate your own shit, man.
It's also on YouTube, Chan. The whole thing's on YouTube. In yeah, English, too. Yeah. So, I mean, literally, we can both get what we want.
Yeah, but I will.
Guys, are we turning this into a Dragon Quest? Dragon no. Warrior podcast?
The Dragon Questers.
I don't need anybody else to be watching over my shoulder on this one.
A Dragon Call Quest.
Oh, yeah, because of those pictures you sent us. I understand why you wouldn't want somebody checking in with you.
After dark.
Rah, rah, like a quested dragon.
Was that did you do a Tim Allen
no,
laugh right there?
No, that was Busta Rhymes, you Detroit Ray.
Okay, no. To be fair, Busta Rhymes is the black equivalent of Tim Allen.
You know what? Yeah.
No, don't do that. Don't say that on wax. No.
It's only a matter of time until Tim Allen shows up in a weird Halloween movie with Michael Myers. And tries to do kung fu on him.
Oh my goodness.
If you haven't seen that movie, what are you doing? Stop everything right now. I Halloween, think it's Halloween Resurrection.
Which one? Oh, was that Resurrection that he was
that's
in?
That's where they go to the childhood home of Michael Myers to film a live stream. And Busta Rhymes is like the producer.
Is that what that was?
And Michael Myers shows up, starts murdering everybody, and Busta Rhymes is like, I'm gonna get you, motherfucker. And then he like does kung fu on him, and it's crazy. That movie is crazy.
That sounds
God, I love amazing. Busta Rhymes. I love Busta Rhymes so much.
He is.
God damn it. Also, that is the end of this episode of Dragon Warrior. We end there.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is the end of right there, this right? is episodic.
Mm-hmm.
He was just he's floating in the water up. On his back, and then In the cruel twist of irony, one of the feathers lands on his face. one of the feathers from the wings just decides to land on his face.
Because he's flying.
He like opens up his eyes like, huh? What?
Marshall, what'd you think of this? Me and Chan are both way on board.
You guys are way on board. I need to see more before I can just say I'm on board.
But you'd want to see more.
Not, I mean, like, I would if I had a podcast to record and somebody said, hey, let's watch episode 2. I'd be like, oh,
well, guess what we have the capability of doing now, Marshall? Guess who's not working now?
Whoa, did I just speak that into existence? Holy shit.
Welcome back to My Three Dads Watch Dragon Warrior.
Where we try to extrapolate fatherly advice from the adventures of Abel and whatever her name
is. You know what? I will say, everybody, what piece of fatherly advice do you take out of Dragon Warrior Episode 1? I'll go first. I learned that if you have a young daughter, don't let them near Master Yogi. Don't let any old master come into the house and give them random gifts. It's a bad precedent to be setting.
I would say, knowing that I will someday have a 15-year-old boy, oh, they are dumb. They are dumb, 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 and there's nothing you can do about it. All you can do is hope that they don't end up on a flying city ship and get flung out chasing some tail. You better hope that they land and just like, you know what? That was enough for me. I'm going to go home and maybe finish high school. I'm going to learn how to be a baker, and then I'm done. That's it. That's,
you know, Chan, secondary lesson, I suggest, you know, for your kid, definitely you should start enrolling him in wrestling tournaments so that way he can start being, you know, impressing big villains.
Yeah.
Skill.
Position your son to get called out by a villain who shows up to town.
So when the giant floating city comes by, you're like, that's right. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to challenge that guy because he ain't never seen abs like these before.
You know what? I got to really say, I'm so thankful for my dad, Chan, because he taught me that I could beat any villain that I wanted to if I just walked around shirtless and I win one wrestling tournament. I'm so glad.
Thank you.
And my dad, Robert Clark Chan, did those things for me. I would not be the boy I am today.
I would not be in traction like I am now.
Yeah.
Partially
nobody
drowned
told me
in this
that
lake.
Guy I was stepping to had telekinetic powers.
He could no have warning. Just straight folded him up if he wanted to. And he's just...
Did you know these dudes who are in giant thrones with enormous cloaks that cover their face, who only say, have lizard henchmen? Did you know they do telekinesis too? Who would have thought that?
It does not seem fair.
I didn't know. It's something should have told me that if I can't beat up the person that is sent to tell me something, I probably shouldn't try to beat up the person that told me the thing. I shouldn't try it. I shouldn't.
No.
Lessons.
Seems fair.
You know what? I'm back on board. I'm going to watch them all.
You know what? We're doing it. We're coming back for more. How many of these are there? I don't even know.
There's like 40 or 50.
50? God damn.
God
it's
damn.
Like, it's like three seasons. So it's, you know, it's like an amount, but it's not, it's not Dragon Ball. It's not One Piece, you know.
Oh, they only showed 13 episodes in the U.S.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Manageable.
Dang, that means there's like so many kids that grew up like just on a cliffhanger of like, well, I wonder what happened to Abel.
I suspect they're not that many because then they're like, oh, wait a minute. Here's the same thing only with like fighting and like super characters that we can argue their power versus Superman for the rest of eternity. I could be
well, folks, that's Dragon Warrior. Marshall, do you have anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
I don't know when this episode's airing. So
this week, it's airing right away.
It's airing right away. It's probably still not going to be in time for anything I got to plug, so that's okay. Check me out.
Check out Marshall Givens, just in general.
Just if you see me walking down the street, say what up, though.
You see Marshall Givens on the street, I want you to step up to him and be like, hey, I heard you won the town's wrestling tournament.
Yo.
And then fling him telekinetically around the room.
I will be best friends with anybody who walks up to me on the street and says that randomly. I will know 100% that we are cool and we need to hang out.
I love it. Robert Clark Chan, anything you want to plug?
No.
No, of course not. Everyone, check out the Who Would Win show. Check out VampireDetroit.com. That's a good show. Otherwise, Gina will be back with us to... what's the next? We're not doing G.I. Joe next. Are we doing... Wait, Chan, hold on. What's the...
Yeah, we are. We're doing some G.I. Joes, and then we got...
Then we have a special treat. We're not going to say it. Oh, it was suggested by one of our patrons. It's something we've debated doing, and one of the three of us has been vetoing it. Before the end of March, we will have done it. We finally have full agreement to do this show, but I'm not going to tell you what it is.
I do not know why I agreed to this, but...
Chan was the holdout. Okay, I'll let you know about that. Good night, everybody.
Or you could watch a 10-hour Dragon Warrior NES playthrough.
I mean, I would do that.
You gotta refine your YouTube search terms, man.
Hey, you. No. Don't look over here. Keep your eyes on the road. Got something for you. Take a listen to this.
In the newest Pokemon, they have Score Bunny, which is a starter.
What?
Yes.
Score Bunny?
So it's a fire bunny that plays soccer. He kicks balls.
He scores. Great.
Score, like Scorch, I think. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Like goal. Like Score Bunny.
Rad.
There's Score Bunny, who uses his mad soccer skills to steal, I think, like donuts or something like that.
How does he use his soccer skills to steal donuts?
He kicks it.
Oh, yummy.
The best part is, though, Score Bunny wants to go and follow Ash and go on big adventures. But
oh my
Ash
god,
is like,
Ash is still the main character of the anime?
Yes, where have you been? Yeah, so Ash is like, I'm getting on the train. I'm leaving, Score Bunny. And Score Bunny's
is it
like,
because he's 80 years old? That's why he sounds like that? Nothing makes donuts taste better than a foot coming in contact with them. If you like what you heard and love co-op with your friends, check out Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast